Well, Father, I just thank you for this is your service. These are your people. You know what they need to hear. You know what they have need of. So, Father God, we just place this service in your hands. We just thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your angelic host. Father God, we just thank you for the anointing that abides. The anointing that abides within each one of us, and we come together, Father God, is just the greatest anointing that the world can ever see. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And see if each one of us would grab a hold of that love thing, then we all come together. We'd just be so full of love that the enemy would have to leave, right? So just sort of meditate. Instead of meditating on other dumb stuff, just meditate on how much Jesus truly does love you. And he only gives his children the best gifts. Remember, he told us that. He doesn't reach around in some old hidden back alley somewhere and just pull you out a dirty gift. He gives you the very best gifts that he has in heaven. Amen. All right. This is, you shall live and not die. Get yourself together. God said, each of you shall live and not die. Your days are numbered and your number has not come up. All right. So get up and get going, for the harvest is ready. Many souls are your names on them. You have to transfer the souls out of the abyss into the glorious third heaven, where they will sit at my feet and be taught of me. All right, it said there, you have to transfer the souls out of the abyss, hell, into the glorious third heaven, where they will sit at my feet and be taught of me. Now, if you're not walking in the fullness of God, you're not going to be able to do that. If you're not walking in the fullness of God's love, you're not going to be able to do that. Because Satan can keep them, you know, held captive there as long as nobody's willing to give up their life. And you do have to give up your life to serve God. And what's so difficult about that? Your life stinks, right? And what's so difficult in giving up all that garbage to receive the glorious things that God has for us? Come on. God said, this harvest is a harvest like no other. He's been telling us that forever. And it will be spread abroad all across the land. Book after book will be written about this harvest. You have seen absolutely nothing yet. And when he was giving this to me, I said, this is so redundant. These are things that we keep saying over and over and over again. Are we really grasping hold of it? Is that the reason why he has to keep repeating himself? Because we still have not grasped hold of the truth of what he's trying to tell us. Lift your eyes from whence cometh your help. Allow me the privilege of transporting you to the third heaven courtroom, where we will settle all cases the dark side brings forth against my elect. Here we go, the courtroom thing again. Lift your eyes from whence cometh your help. You know, lift them up to heaven. Allow me the privilege of transporting you to the third heaven courtroom, where we will settle all cases the dark side brings forth against my elect. I don't know about you, but anymore when I pray, I'm always going to the courtroom. That has become a reality to me. You know, you can write about the courtroom till you're blue in the face. You can talk about it, you know, until you can't talk about it no more. But if it doesn't become a reality to you, it means nothing. The courtroom in heaven exists. It is real. And that's where God judges everything that goes on. Just, you need to start doing, I'm hearing, the impossible. And the impossible is getting your mind geared to think that there's a courtroom in heaven and God wants you to bring your cases to the courtroom where he can judge them. Some of you people that write about the courtroom, I don't see you winning too many cases in your personal life. So where are you getting your information from? Just something to think about. I'm not saying that you know, but you need to start exercising your mind and get it out of the box that it's in and start thinking outside the box with God the way he thinks. God goes on to say, we are in an abridged time of life where everything is possible and nothing will be overlooked. And I looked up unabridged. It means complete. Everything's complete in God right now. There is so much animosity amongst the world's people in my churches. All this will be dealt with in this year, 2024, and I will bring forth the true and faithful ones. He doesn't want animosity among his children. He doesn't want backbiting and, you know, and gossiping. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want whenever he moves so mightily in here and you walk through the door and the first thing you do is you start running somebody down. He doesn't want that. We should, whatever we receive in here, we should carry with us. So you must not have received anything if the minute you walk through the door, you start being hateful and ignorant and running people down. You didn't receive anything. I think you should turn around and come back in, come up to the altar and repent. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're with people, don't you get tired of that? It should never be. All right. God said, there is so much animosity amongst the world's people in my churches. All this will be dealt with in this year, 2024, and I will bring forth the true and faithful ones. Then they will be unscathed. Let's look at that. It's talking to you guys. They will be unscathed by the sludge poured out upon them. They will walk upright and they shall encourage all they encounter. All the junk that's been poured on you all your life is not going to no longer bother you. And if it still bothers you, then you still have not gone deep enough in the spirit realm. God goes on to say, there is no longer a big I or a little I, for all are equal in my eyes. We are unified in one mind and one accord. We are all on the same page and no longer looking for the spotlight. For all have been schooled for the purpose of this end time harvest to usher in the second coming of my son, Jesus. I have said this before and I say it again. My angels have been sent forth in position to fight your battles for you. I was grinning because up here where he said there's no longer a big I or a little I, for all are equal in my eyes. We are unified in one mind and one accord. We are all on the same page, no longer looking for the spotlight. And I want to bring up a point here. All right, so Deborah flags over there, Grace flags over there, Tiana dances here. All right, Tiana comes in to dance, and you're standing in my spot. How dare you? This is my spot, you know? See what God's saying? It doesn't matter if somebody's standing in your spot. That isn't your spot. That's the altar. You just stand beside them. If you accidentally kick them, that's okay. They'll learn to move over out of your spot. You see what God's saying? You know, when God was moving this morning and, you know, and I was ministering and, you know, you all have your assignments of how you're supposed to help. Just do what you're assigned to do and don't be concerned about what somebody else is doing. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm going to do my job for God and so we can keep moving. And, you know, so what if God decides to use somebody else other than you to do your job? That's God. He can do whatever he wants. He can train anybody he wants to at any given time that he wants to. Maybe you might be losing your job because you're not doing it right, though. I mean, God threw in all these variables, right? You know, and start seeing the big picture instead of just your little square hole that you look through all the time. All right, where am I at now? Newness of life, and God's talked to us about this also. Everything is brand new. Do you understand that tonight? Everything is brand new in this new dispensation we've entered into. Everything is brand new. New dispensation of time, new anointings, new adventures, new faces in my house. Now, we've never had a service where all we did was deliverance. I've never had that before in the 40-some years we've been here. So that's a brand new thing. That's what I've been praying, though, because I think it'd be better if God just come in here and just yanked everybody's junk out of them. And you know, instead of having you come and sit, you know, at somebody's feet while they do a deliverance on you. Don't you think it'd be better if he just yanked it out of you? You know? So he wants to do new things, but are we open enough to allow him to do new things? And I'm going to be honest with you at this point right now. God's been saying he's going to move suddenly. And he said, you're not ready for it. You were not ready for what God did today, this morning. It took you off guard. And so you were befuddled. Some of you were befuddled and you didn't know exactly what you was supposed to be doing next. You're not ready. So now get ready. This was your practice run. All right. Now get ready for the next run because it's going to be stronger and longer and more people. All right. God said, I have started a journey with you to new horizons. And in this dispensation of time, you shall go a way that you have never been before. I mean, I'm in a way I've never been before because I never know what God's going to do. You know, I have a sermon all service all ready to go, and he tells me like 8 o'clock this morning, you're going to get that song, you're going to sing that song, and I'm going to move during that song. So whatever I had all prepared went along the wayside, and we just let the Holy Spirit move. You see that? You shall go a way that you have never been before. This is the reason that I have been telling you not to look back from whence you came. This is a new dispensation of time in a brand new season. Do not get stuck in this is really neat. I don't want to leave this place of security. I would love to have the service like we had this morning all the time, but then the next service he has is even greater than the other service. You see what I'm saying? Be open and be ready to move the way God wants to move, not the way you want him to move. When Brother Merlin was doing getting his men's thing together, God told me not very many are going to show up, but I'm going to anoint him to minister to the ones that do. So I knew there weren't going to be very many. I should have told you, ladies, so you wouldn't make so much food. But I didn't want Merlin to know that. All right. So, you know, and God did exactly what there weren't very many here. You men are so thick-headed. You don't know enough to come into the house of God and get changed. But God moved. He anointed Merlin to move. And God always says, do not despise small beginnings. So he starts with a few, and then if he finds you faithful with those few, he keeps adding two. All right? You got that, Merlin? All right. This is a new dispensation of time in a brand new season. Do not get stuck in this is really neat. I don't want to leave this place of security. For the new horizons that lie before you are far greater than the old. Remember, God tell me, don't want what you used to have, even though it was wonderful, because what I'm taking you into is far greater than what you're leaving behind. And what I left behind was the greatest thing I ever did. You know, raising the dead and all that. You know, that's what else could you possibly want? So I'm waiting to see how God tops this 40 years. What are you waiting on? You have to have anticipation, expectation. You have to be wanting everything that God has for you. You have to excite yourself. I sit in my state and I excite myself. You and I talk to God and I tell him everything. It would be so wonderful. But then I say, your will, your way, Father, you know. Or I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be preaching today if I didn't excite myself. Because let's face it, the church doesn't excite you too much, do they? They act about as dumb as the world, don't they? Say yes. You can say amen to that. Lost my place. Newness of life lies in the new horizons. Blessing after blessing will abound. In this new horizon lies the second return of my son, Jesus. You, my beloved ones, are preparing the way for him to come and gather his people to himself. When God very first called me into the ministry, the first thing he told me was, you are the second John the Baptist preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. So this is what in your remnant church, that's the first thing he told me. So this is what the remnant churches have been doing. They're on the backside of the desert, sort of out of the way places, but they are preparing the body of Christ to receive Jesus Christ for the second time. That's a powerful thing to do, to be in that position. And I would think if I was y'all, because you're all here, and God told me you're the group he's going to use to do this mighty move of the Spirit, I would get excited that little old me, God thinks so much of little old me, that he's going to use me mightily. Everybody else looks at you and say, who do you think you are? I know who I am. I don't think. I know who I am. I'm a child of God, called by God to do a great mighty works for him. I know my first husband said, well, what if you live like this and be a goody-two-shoe all your life and find out when you die there is no heaven or hell? And I said, at least I'm not the mess you're in. You know, I'm really enjoying life. I really am enjoying life. And I don't have any regrets in what I've done. All right. In this new horizon lies the second return of my son, Jesus. You, my beloved ones, are preparing the way for him to come and gather his people to himself. You, every one of you in here, are the ones who will carry the torch to the end of the race. And you are the ones who will understand all mysteries that have been buried away for such a time as this. You guys, not the guy out on the street, but you guys God's talking to. God said, I have been speaking for decades now of this end time event. I have continually spoken to all of my children and encouraged them not to lose heart or their faith in what I have spoken over them. You are the most important instrument in this event. You, each one of you, you are the most important instrument in this event that we're in right now, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. For it is through you that I will carry out my total and complete will. It's just not one you. It's a whole lot of yous that he has to use, because one you cannot accomplish what God needs to get accomplished. They just can't. And every one of you will reach people that I'll never even see. Are you listening? I don't know who Nancy runs with. I would never be able to minister to her group of people. All right. So just think about this. You have a special place in God's plan to get everything set up to bring Jesus back again. Others have desired to see this time, but they have come on home with me. And they are watching this event unfold from the portals of heaven. God says, do you desire to understand all mysteries? Then keep on the path that I have laid out before your feet and do not stumble nor fall. Hope for the future is looming before you, and all of heaven is rejoicing for such a time as this has never occurred before. Adriana thinks I talked too much about different, she wants to talk to me, but I just rattle on and on and on and on and on. And she's sitting there thinking, just shut up. But see, God's already told me what she wants to talk about, and he doesn't want to hear it. He's already given the answer. And so this morning, you know, she was in that mood again, and I said, I'm not going to pray with you like you just asked me to. I just want you to go in there and just wait for the first song and just see what happens. Well, she got a deliverance, and she's laughing, and she's not crying. And she looked at me like, really now? You know, and she was over at my house yesterday, and I'm thinking of making small talk, and I'm thinking, well, Adriana, go ahead, unload. She didn't ever unload. Maybe I didn't give her a chance to. I don't know. But God knows exactly what he's doing. And when God doesn't want somebody, but wants you to blurt all the junk out, he's going to make sure it isn't blurted out, because he wants to get all the glory. Who got the glory in her life this morning? I'm just using her because I know what's going on. God got all the glory. I wouldn't pray for her. I wouldn't do nothing but just sort of tell her to shut up in a sweet, loving way. You know what I did? God knows what you have need of. So why not talk to him? Why not get what you need from him? You didn't get saved for me to live your life. You got saved so you live the life with Christ. And everybody depends on a pastor to walk them through it. You know, you're supposed to walk this out yourself. The Word of God tells me walk out your own salvation. And God told me one time, daughter, you're going to lose your salvation because you're trying to walk everybody else's salvation out. And you can't do that. So remember that, all right, with your little college kids. I'm going to tell you all about God, but you're going to walk it out yourself. I had to go through the bumps and humps. You can go through them too. All right, but then see if you're carrying the glory strong enough. They'll get changed right before your eyes. Like Peter and Jesus and Paul and all those did, right? All right, you shall live and not die is what God said. So let's look at Psalm 118, verse 15. Hear the shouts, hear the trumpet songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. This is what he's done. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. I didn't die, I lived. And now I'm telling the world what God did. God tested me. Look, this is yourself. He pushed me hard, but he didn't hand me over to death. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk through and thank God. See, you know, Paul said, I'm going to sing the word. No, who was his David? I'm going to tell the world what my God did for me. Y'all walk around here like, and grumbling, mumbling, and if that's what your God did to you, I don't want to serve your God. He'll set you free. There isn't a person in this room or a sound of my voice that hasn't been bound with something at some point, maybe more than one time in their life. But as you cried out to God and cried out to God, God delivered you. God set you free so you could live a peaceful, happy life. Are you listening? All right, the breath of life in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and sat me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. Remember, I'm reading this because he said you should live and not die. He led me around, and among them a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God. So I'm prophesying over your dry bones tonight. Listen to what God's saying to you. Lost my place. God the master told the dry bones, watch this. So you're the dry bones and God's saying to you, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. Remember God said you shall live and not die. And some of you are acting like you're dead. Well, this is what he's saying to you. He's bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I will attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones. I don't want no more meat. Yeah, I got enough meat, all right? Cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. So come on, he wants you to come alive tonight and realize that God is God. He's not a man. I prophesied just as I had been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I don't hear rustling yet. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath. God the master says, come from the four winds. Come breathe the breath on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I'm calling the winds from the four corners, and I'm saying to God, breathe life into you people here and whoever's listening. God wants to breathe life in you tonight because you shall live and not die. I don't care if you're sitting in your sink and I'm already dead. No, you're not. Get up. Quit becoming an old whatever, a wuss, whatever they call that, you know? Come on. We're supposed to be warriors in Christ. So verse 10 says, so I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them. So I just prophesied. Now the breath is coming into you. Now feel it. All right. By faith. So I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they're saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left of us. And some of you, that's the way you think. Therefore, prophesy, tell them, God, the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you, and you'll live. Come on, he's breathing life into you, and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land, and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it, I'll do it, and it's God's decree. I want to hear the rustling of the winds tonight. I want to see God blow his wind over you, breathe life into you once again. And when you walk through the doors, some of you tonight, you came in here hopeless. God is saying, you're not hopeless. You're full of life. It's my breath that I'm breathing into your lungs. Now receive what I have for you. And some of you need to come to the altar right now, because you know that you know that you know that you needed God to breathe that life into you. And you know he's breathing over you. And he wants you to receive all that he has for you in this new breath that he's given you. Life is never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Because when the breath of God comes into you and over you, you change totally from the inside out.